So would you just poke the person next to you now that you're sitting next to them and tell them, get out of your box? It is so wonderful to be here. I love this church, and I love your pastors. And I thankfully got some time with Matt and Susie today, and a little bit of time with Nate and Kristen, too. And Grady got to play airplanes with Matt and Grayson. So we're just feeling a part of you. We love you very much. So if you go ahead and go to that next slide, I want to just paint a little picture for you tonight. If we lived in the Old Covenant and we came to worship the true God, we would not be in here. Does everybody know that? We would not even be allowed in the building. Because in the Old Covenant, you came to worship and you brought your animal, your birds or your lamb or whatever offering you were bringing, and you left it at the gate. There was somebody out there who was ready to take that for you, and you would give your offering, and you were done. You worshiped God from afar, and then the priest would take your offering, and he would bring it either into the court, or they would, and then they would come in here in the sanctuary, and they would sing and worship for you. And then there was a curtain that was in the front of the sanctuary, thick curtain. And behind that curtain was this golden box that we see on that picture, the Ark of the Covenant. And that is where the presence of God dwelt. But nobody could go back there, except one time a year the high priest was allowed to take blood on behalf of all the people. And he could take that blood and go back there one time and put that blood there, and then he had to run back out. And if you were going to be a priest in this room, you had to be a Jew, you had to be a male, you had to be of the tribe of Levi, and you had to be between the ages of 25 and 50. So I'm saying all that to say that in the Old Covenant, God limited himself a lot. How many of you are thankful that you do not live in the Old Covenant? Because do we have any Jewish males between the ages of 25 and 50 from the tribe of Levi in here tonight? Anybody? Anybody do that DNA test and you figured out that? Sorry, ladies. Even if you were of the tribe of Levi, you couldn't even be in here. But here we are sitting in this sanctuary and worshiping the true and living God, and his presence is all around us. Why? Because when Jesus Christ died on Good Friday, which is this week, the moment that he died on that cross, the Bible says that that curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. And God basically said, okay, I'm done with the limitation. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of the box. This is what I'm celebrating this Easter, is that God's presence is no longer in a box, because Jesus Christ made it possible for us to have that right here. That right there is now here because of what Jesus did for us. Are you thankful for that? And that sounds amazing, but that's not even the end of the breaking of the box. Because if you go on and you continue to read in the book of Acts, we know that that Jesus told his disciples, after that curtain ripped and Jesus died and then he was raised from the dead, he told his disciples, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem, but I want you to stay here because something's going to happen. You're going to be clothed with power. They didn't know what that meant. Jesus did not give them a sheet that explained what was going to happen on that day. There was no bulletin on the day of Pentecost. The very first word in Acts chapter 2 is suddenly, unexpectedly, the Holy Spirit was poured out on those early followers of Jesus. And crazy things happened. God was certainly out of the box at that point, because when he's out of the box, he just does strange, unusual things that are not predicted. How many of you think we need some more unpredicted, unscripted moments in the church today? How many of you think Augusta needs an unscripted suddenly? Are you all ready for that? Because the Holy Spirit's moving today, and he's going to move in Augusta. And he's going to move outside of the box. And I think this is a church that believes in that. So if you keep reading in the book of Acts and you get to chapter 9, probably my favorite part of the book of Acts is Peter was praying, and he was in this city called Joppa, and he had a vision. And this sheet came down from heaven, and in the sheet was like a, what's the name of that barbecue place here? It was like Sconeers on steroids. Coming down in a sheet. It was every kind of pork and every part of the pork. And it was shrimp and it was lobster and crabs and every kind of meat that Jews did not eat. And then Peter heard a voice speaking three times. God always had to speak to Peter three times. And said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter understood something here. The box has changed. Now, Peter was a Jew. He was raised a Jew. He was raised by a kosher Jewish mama. And she had told him, I'm sure, all his life, don't eat that. Don't eat pork. Don't eat shrimp. Don't eat at Sconeers. It's not kosher. And then he hears this voice. And right at the time that after God speaks to him, he hears a knock on the door. And these people show up at the door, and they're not Jews. And they're from a town up the road. And they said, our friend Cornelius had a vision, and God told him that he's supposed to come get you and bring you to his house because you have a message for him. And Peter understood because of this vision that he was supposed to go. So the Bible says that he went to that place. It was called Caesarea. And he went to a house that was the house of a man named Cornelius, who was an Italian. And Jews lived in their limited box up to that point. And Jews did not associate with people who were not from Israel, who were not Jews. They didn't associate with people who ate pork. And yet God is telling him, I want you to go to this Italian house. Now, I wish that we had a video of Peter walking into that place, because I think probably the very first thing he would have smelled was the garlic. They probably had calamari, which is, you know, squid. And maybe they had some octopus. And who knows what Italian delicacies were on the table. And he walks into that room, and it's full of Italians. And he preaches the gospel to those people. And guess what? There is another Acts 2 moment, only this is Acts 10. And the Holy Spirit is poured out, just like that picture, poured out on people who are not Jews. And those Jews are filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. We are talking way out of the box at this point. And wow, I mean, this was a quintessential, pivotal moment for the church, because this is really the moment that the Gentile church was born. Up to now, it's been all kosher Jewish people serving Jesus, but now there is a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit who are not Jews. And it happened in this place called Caesarea. I actually got to go to Israel last fall, and you'll see in this. Oh, let me show this scripture first. Go back to Acts 10. I want to just read this because this is the reaction of the people when this happened. It says, while Peter, this is Acts 10, 44 and 45, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. We've read those words before, but I want y'all to let this sink in because this was an out-of-the-box moment for the church. And this was new, and a lot of people had a problem with it, and a lot of people in this room were amazed because God had done something that they'd never seen before, and he broke the box. He broke the racial box. He broke the box of tradition and culture. And the Holy Spirit always, always does that. The Holy Spirit loves to break our boxes. I'm sharing this, folks, because I believe God wants to break some boxes in Augusta. Do you believe there's still some boxes that need to be broken here? Do you think maybe something big could happen if the box broke in Augusta? So, as I said, I went to Israel last fall, and this is Caesarea. I actually got to go there. This is a Roman aqueduct that you can see there that was a first century part of the architecture of that place. And this is the city where the Gentile church was born. And you can see in this next picture how happy I am that I got to be there, because I got to swim in the Mediterranean in Caesarea, and I got to be in the very place where the first Gentile church was born. And honestly, this was my favorite place to be in Israel. It's like, I love the Jewish history. I love the history of Israel, and it's all wonderful. But there's something for me, because I'm a Gentile, that I love the fact that we're included in this story, and that God broke the box in this place. Amen? So I came this Wednesday night to just, right before Easter, to just kind of put a little reminder in you guys that God is going to do something earth-shaking in Augusta to break the box, the religious box in this city. And I believe he's going to use Good News Church to do that. Are y'all okay with that? Are y'all okay if he uses you to help open it up? Would that be okay? Is it okay if it might cause a little bit of controversy? I mean, I'm looking around this room, and the box has already started to break here. But you know what? You don't look like most churches in Augusta. Hello? We got a long way to go in Augusta. But you know, it's time. It is time. So, you know, I'm talking to you in theological terms about the box, but I want to make this very personal for everybody here. And I just want to challenge you tonight that the Holy Spirit wants to break the box in your life. And I'm going to make just three simple points about that. Number one is that he wants you not to limit. There's three things he doesn't want you to limit. But number one is he does not want you to limit your potential. Because this is what we do, is that we get in our comfort zone and we kind of figure out who we are and what we do, and we just kind of maintain that and we do that. And the Holy Spirit is all about us growing and transforming and changing, and he actually may push you out into some new territory that you've never been for, even if you're older. Is that okay? I'm going to tell you my own story. Just, some of you know my story, but in terms of career, I started out as a journalist, and I was pretty good. I loved to write, and I was gifted to write, so I just kind of figured that was my thing, and I just learned that I could hide behind my pen, and I could do that, and people would pay me to do that. And so I got jobs in that. And then I ended up at one of the largest Christian magazines in the country and was hired to do journalism work there and ended up being the editor of that magazine. And I loved it. It was fun. And I enjoyed writing articles. I enjoyed sitting behind my computer and doing that and interviewing interesting people. And I got paid to do it, and they started paying me well, and I had a nice house in the suburbs, and they paid me to do that. But around 1998, after I had been working at that magazine for many years, the Holy Spirit started bothering me. He started showing me that he was asking me to do things that were not on my job description. Even though I was in my middle age years, you know, and there's no reason to have to make a shift. We can just stay in the groove or rut that we're in. And the Holy Spirit started showing me that he wanted me to do things like speaking publicly and traveling and doing mission work. And I wasn't excited about that. That was not on my job description. That was not my comfort zone. And I had told God, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do as long as it does not involve speaking in front of people. And I didn't, also when you talked about travel, I was not interested in that because I kind of like didn't like the idea of flying long distances, and I really didn't like the idea of flying over large bodies of water. That was not something I was interested in. Did you know that fear can actually prevent you from fulfilling your potential? So I pretty much had told God, that's ridiculous. That's not me. That's not who I am. But he wouldn't leave me alone. He kept bothering me about it. To the point that I got in a wrestling match with God. And I don't know if you've read the story of Jacob and his wrestling with the angel of the Lord, but it doesn't turn out too well for those who decide to wrestle. So I ended up on the floor of a church in Florida, wrestling with God over this and telling him that I was not going to do that. And he kept telling me that that's what he had for me, that this was my potential. And all of a sudden, I, like Peter, I had a vision. And I'm going to show you a picture. I found this picture on the internet of kind of what I saw in my spirit. It was a picture of this gigantic pipe, like a huge gas pipeline or oil pipeline. And it was golden in color. And I knew it was huge. It was like 6 feet tall. And I saw this and I could see inside of it. And I knew that there was a very shallow stream of oil flowing through that pipeline. And I knew God was speaking to me. And I said, Lord, what are you showing me? And he said, I'm showing you a picture of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. And I thought, well, that's not really encouraging because that's not a lot of oil in that huge pipe. You know, Lord, like, aren't we supposed to be like full? And I noticed in this vision that there were a lot of valves on that pipe and they were very tightly shut. And I said, Lord, what are those valves? And I felt like he said, these represent all the times when you have said no to me. Now, I don't remember doing that. It's not like we walk in church and lift our hands to the Lord and go, no! It's a lot more subtle than that. But as I'm wrestling with all this, I'm realizing that maybe the vows have to do with me saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do as long as it's not speaking. Because you can put conditions on your obedience. And you can actually tell God what you will do and what you will not do. And he just was wrestling me to the ground and showing me that I don't have the right to do that. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, at some point I thought, Lord, you must be tricking me, okay? You know, like when God told Abraham to go and take his son and sacrifice Isaac, but then right before he did, he said, no, you don't have to do it. He was just testing him. I thought, okay, Lord, maybe you're doing that with me. You're just seeing if I'll say that I'll do this, but you're not really serious. But on the floor of that church, 1998, I made a decision that I was going to do this. And I prayed what I call the most dangerous prayer in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah said to God, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And I can imagine that his hands were raised when he said those words. I don't know if anybody in here has ever prayed that. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray that tonight. Because I'm convinced that when somebody prays, "Here am I, Lord, send me," I think heaven takes a Polaroid picture of you. And you're right there. And then God takes that image and puts it on his refrigerator. And it's a memorial to your obedience. But I want you to know that when I prayed that, I had another vision. And I saw this huge crowd in front of me. And they were, it was like thousands of people. And they were all Africans. And I remember thinking, the first thing I thought when I saw that crowd was, you cannot drive to Africa. And I'm like, "Are you serious, Lord? You're going to send me to Africa?" I mean, I was in doubt about this. But 14 months after that moment on that floor, I was standing in front of 7,000 pastors in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. And I was preaching about how the men were mistreating their wives, and the men were coming down out of the audience, and they were coming down to the stage area, and they were kneeling and facing the people, and they were repenting for how they'd been beating and mistreating their wives. And the women in the audience were wailing because they had never seen Nigerian men apologize to women for anything. And I was so glad that I was standing behind this big, huge pulpit because my knees were like this. I was not some superstar that night. I was in fear and trembling, but God used me because I had surrendered. And I want you to know that going to Nigeria and coming home from Nigeria, there was horrible turbulence. Because God does not promise that if he sends you somewhere, there's not going to be turbulence. He just promises he will be with you. And now, since the moment that I prayed that prayer, I have preached in 36 countries, some of those countries 10 times each, visits, separate flights. And I'm now a Delta million miler, the guy who didn't like flying over large bodies of water. In 2 weeks, I'm going to get on one of those planes in Atlanta and fly to Singapore over the Pacific. And it's just become routine for me now. And if there's turbulence, I just have learned to dig my fingernails into the armrest and pray in the Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians are sitting on their potential and not releasing it because of fear, because somebody told you you couldn't do it, or somebody labeled you a certain way and said you'll never amount to that, or you could never do that, or you've told yourself that over and over until you've believed it, and your potential has been completely limited. And folks, we need everybody in this room to be fully engaged and fully released into your full potential. Amen. So would you poke the person next to you and say, "Don't limit your potential." Don't hurt them when you poke them. But this is why I wanted y'all to sit together. I want to just pray this prayer over you. Could you go to that scripture in Ephesians 1? I want everybody to just put your hand on your head. And I want to pray this over you. This is the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. He said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe." Amen. There's more. His greatness, His power is surpassing in you. But our minds have to be awakened to that. Our eyes have to be open to that. Because a lot of us don't see the potential that God has put in us. And I just pray that this year would be your year that you break out of your box and that you discover that. Amen? Now, if we're going to go, if we're going to continue to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit and not limiting things, then the next thing that I'm going to just challenge you with is number two. Don't limit your people or your place. Because as we saw in the book of Acts, when the Spirit moves, things change. And your environment may change, your box may change, your box may be completely obliterated, and you may actually start working among people that you never associated with before, right? And He can shift and change that. When I talk to people about my travels, a lot of times the first thing anybody ever brings up is food. Have you ever noticed that? Like somebody says, oh, we went somewhere, and they go, oh, what do they eat there? It's like we're so afraid of new food. I'm going to gross you out tonight because I'm going to show you a couple of things that I've eaten. And one thing that I did not eat when I started traveling. I want you to look at this first picture. Does anybody have any idea what that is? What is that, Grady? No. This is a sheep's head in Iceland, and it's considered the delicacy. It's like what they eat on Christmas Day. But when they have guests, they like to, you know, like we talk about bringing the fatted calf. Well, they bring the sheep's head. And they set it before me, and then they asked me if I wanted the eyes. Because that's what they give the honored guest. They also honor the older people. And so there was this one older gentleman there. And I said, well, do you want them? And he was like, well, if you don't, I will. And so I said, I'll go ahead and let you have them. So he ate both eyes. And I just had the cheek of that thing. And it was actually delicious. It tastes just like lamb chops. Yeah. Which is not the same of the next picture. This next one, does anybody know what that is? And I just want you to know it is not green beans. Those are grasshoppers in Uganda. They are a wonderful source of protein. Lots of people eat them there. They fry them with onions. And I actually thought they were quite delicious. So, for those of you who are sitting there going, I will never go to a foreign country because I don't want to eat that. There are ways that you can get out of not eating it. But I came to tell you tonight that that's not an excuse. Because there are things you can say to, just graciously bow out, as I did in the next picture. This one. What is that? Those are mice boiled in salt water and dried. And they are a roadside snack in Malawi. Malawi, Africa. Yeah, we were riding down the road and my friends go, oh, look, they have whatever they call it. Can we stop? And then they got these skewers of these whole boiled mice, and they began to consume them. Kind of felt like I was in the movie Shrek. I refused that and said that I was just concerned that I might get sick and that that would ruin my meetings for the next few days. So I didn't do it. Food is just, it's just a, you know, it's just one of those things you kind of, you can get grossed out by. But that's not really the issue. The issue is really about people. And when the Holy Spirit starts moving in your life, I have learned that he always, always, always moves us to a place where he starts breaking barriers and pushing limits and crashing through racial walls and ethnic walls because he wants us to be together. And I just want to say that I believe this is a church that is already okay with that, but we need to be willing to be God's battering ram to help push the walls completely down in Augusta. Are y'all okay with that? And are you okay with it if it not only affects who you visit and who you sit near in church, but what about the effect it might even have on your family? Because ultimately, that's where this is going to go. And you can see that from this next picture. This is my grandson, Grady. He's with me tonight. I just think it's cool that the first time Grady ever traveled with me on a missions, on a ministry trip was here. I'm not the only one who brought the message tonight. That was about a year ago. About 7 years ago, my oldest daughter, Margaret, went to Ethiopia on a mission trip because she was already out of her box. She was already releasing her full potential. And she and her husband went over there, and while they were there, God spoke to them and said, I want you to adopt a baby from Ethiopia. And so they went through the process. It took a while, and then they brought this wonderful gift home with them, who's been in my life ever since, my number one grandson. And it makes no difference that he has a little bit darker skin than me, but it makes all the difference when I walk down the street with him in my city of LaGrange, Georgia, and we're holding hands walking through Walmart or the park, and I love to see the looks and people trying to figure out how this worked. Or when they see his father, who has a big bushy red beard, and his little brother, who has crazy red hair, and they really are confused after that. But the special moment was when Grady was a little baby and I was holding him, and my family had gathered, and I gave him to my father. We were having a little family gathering, and we wanted my father to sort of bless this new baby and welcome him into our family. And so my father, whose name was Jackson Lee Grady, named after two Civil War generals, took this little African boy and welcomed him as the first African into the Grady family. And his name is Grady. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what you call breaking the box. There's not much left of the box after that. Okay? And good news, church. Somebody has to go first. Somebody has to be willing to do the dirty work. And there's still a lot of walls that need to fall in Augusta. And I'm just here to not just ask you, but I'm here to commission you to do that. Let's break what's left of the walls, the racial walls in Augusta. Are we okay with that? Can we say, yes, Lord? Can we say, here am I, Lord, send me to do that? It's a beautiful thing what God's doing here. But let's let the Holy Spirit take it to the fullness of that. And that means God may just really change up who you are hanging out with. Look at this next picture. This is my life now. The guy in the red is a Maasai warrior from Tanzania. These are the kind of people that are now I'm having conversations with on WhatsApp and texting a lot. These little pictures, these guys, these are all guys who live in Africa who call me dad because they look to me as a mentor and we have long conversations and we have a relationship. This would never have happened if I hadn't said yes, but I also had to allow every wall and barrier to break in my life because the Holy Spirit doesn't like those. And then that guy in the top, this might rile a few people because, you know, the political climate in our country right now is a little, does anybody notice it's a little on edge? We're all on edge right now. And personally, I don't believe that either political party is going to be able to solve the issues that we're facing. I don't believe it's a Republican or a Democrat thing. I believe that the Holy Spirit has his agenda. And that we need to be about the kingdom, not about party. But that guy up there, his name is Dario. He's an immigrant from Mexico. I performed his wedding last year. He lives in Tennessee. He has lived in Tennessee most of his life. His parents brought him to America from Mexico. And then his dad moved back home. He was left here. He knows nothing but America. He's never known anything but America. Mexico is not really his home. But he does not have his citizenship yet. So he's an illegal Mexican immigrant who loves Jesus with all of his heart and loves America and wants to live here and asked me to do his wedding last year. You know, there's a lot of tension about that issue right now. And there's probably a lot of people like Dario in Augusta right now who are hiding because they're scared. But you know where they can find the love of Jesus is here. And they need to find people who have hearts that are open to them. No matter what their passport says or whether they have a passport. Are we willing to show the love of Jesus to those people? I'm not talking about being sanctuary cities and, you know, being breaking laws. I'm not talking about that. But I am saying we've got to open our hearts and show the love of Jesus to people. And I believe Good News Church is a church that wants to do that. Because there's a harvest out there, folks, of immigrants in this city. A lot of them right now are scared to go outside. A lot of them are fearful of what's going on in our culture. But that also means their hearts are open to the message that we have. So I'm challenging you as a people to show them that love. Amen. I want to give you this scripture. I want to just read this verse to you because I believe this is a prophetic scripture for Good News Church. It's Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities." This is a prophecy that was originally given to Israel, but now it's given to us as the church, that we are called to spread abroad and we are called to open up our hearts to everybody who comes to us, and that we're called to reach the nations. If Peter could break out of his Jewish mindset and go down to Caesarea and preach to those Italians, then can we do that too? Can we stretch our minds and hearts? And if we have to do that and we have to enlarge our mindsets first, then what's going to happen is we're going to enlarge the capacity of our buildings as well. But it's going to have to start here first. Because I think God wants Good News Church to grow numerically, but it has to start inside of us first. Number three is don't limit his power. I've told my testimony here before. I'm not going to give that whole story, but most of y'all know that I was raised in a very traditional church in the South. I was raised at Southern Baptist, and I'm very grateful for those people. They gave me a love for the Bible, and they shared with me what it means to be saved. And I had a born-again experience in a Southern Baptist church, and my life was changed. But then when I was 18 years old, I found out through a lady who was teaching a Sunday school class in my church, I found out that there was a second experience in the Christian life called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those Southern Baptist people had always told me, if it's in the Bible, you should believe it. But there were some things in the Bible that we never talked about. And one of those was this second experience. I had never heard of it. And so this lady, her name was June, she sat me down and she opened up her Bible and she turned to this scripture that I'm going to show you from Luke 24. It was when Jesus was speaking to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And he said, "Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And she looked at me and she said, "Lee, there's more." And I'm like, I didn't know that there was more. I thought salvation was it. I thought you just get saved and then you try to stay saved and maybe even lead somebody else to salvation, but pretty much that's it. And then we go to heaven and whew, we made it. I didn't know that there was a life of being filled with the Spirit that might involve powerful things like miracles or praying for people and seeing healing or living a supernatural life. I didn't know that that was possible. Nobody around me in my church did that. Nobody in my church knew that it was possible. And so when she said, "Lee, there's more," I was hungry for that. And I was 18 years old and I was starving for that. And so she gave me a bunch of books and more scriptures. And I went home and I studied those scriptures and I read those books. And then I finally decided a week later, I'm going to do this. So I went to my church and I sat down behind my church. And I had never, ever seen anybody have hands laid on them before. I'd never seen anybody lift their hands in worship like we did tonight. I had never seen anyone fall on the floor or be pushed to the floor. I had never seen any of that. And I had never heard anybody speak in tongues. I lived a completely sheltered Southern Baptist life. But on that night, I prayed and I lifted my hands and I said, "Jesus, I want you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit." And I kind of went like this because I had read in Acts 2 that there was wind and fire and I didn't know what would happen. But that night, the first person I ever heard speak in tongues was me. And God baptized me in the Holy Spirit on Southern Baptist property. Because he's not in the box. God's not in the box anymore. And what's really fascinating is 40 years after that happened, I moved to LaGrange, Georgia, where we live now. Went there to take care of my aging father. My parents were going to First Baptist Church of LaGrange, biggest church in town, very traditional church. But after being there for like a year and a half, the pastor of that church came to me just a few months ago and said, "Lee, I need to talk to you about what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life." And he proceeded to tell me that he had just gone to a little prayer meeting 15 miles down the road with a black pastor. And there was some black women in this little meeting. And they got him in a chair and circled around him and prayed over him and laid hands on him. And he said, he looked at me and said, "Lee, I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit." First Baptist Church of LaGrange, Georgia. And then I started finding out more of what was happening in this church. And just a few weeks ago, I went to what they called a Sunday school class that goes on Wednesday nights. And there were 50 people in a room in this church laying hands on people and pouring oil all over people and getting people speaking in tongues and prophesying over each other at the First Baptist Church. And I'm looking at this and going, okay, the box has been broken. And if we're not careful, the Southern Baptists are going to be walking in more power than the Pentecostals have been. Because a lot of the Pentecostals started closing up and going into a box. And a lot of charismatics that got full of the Holy Ghost back in the 70s are now using a script to do church. And there's no room anymore for the Spirit to interrupt. And I want to tell y'all, we are in a moment in history where I believe God is just about to invade. And he's looking for hungry hearts. And he wants to pour a fresh anointing of his Spirit on his church right now. And it doesn't matter what label is on the door. Amen? This is the only thing that is going to save America, folks. Is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have this. I've been studying this and looking at it, and I found this one scripture that I want to show you from Exodus 40, and then I'm going to pray for you. I've gotten just intrigued with this whole concept of anointing oil, and I found out that when God told Moses to build the tabernacle, to make it, and he told him to make it a certain way, and then he told him to make all this furniture inside of it. And we all know that. I've read this and learned this, known this all my life. I don't think I noticed this verse before in Exodus 40 when God told Moses, "You shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy." God told Moses to take that oil, which, by the way, when they made the oil, they didn't make it in little quantities of like vials this big. When God told Moses to make the oil, the recipe was like a gallon and a half each time they made it. It's kind of a hefty quantity of oil. And when he anointed the tabernacle, he was putting oil on everything in there. He was anointing the tent. He was anointing all the pieces of furniture. And then, of course, he anointed all the priests with it. And it wasn't like a little dabble, do you? They would pour it on them. So basically, if we went into the tabernacle in the Old Testament, we would find that that place was dripping with oil. And yet, I look at the American church today, and a lot of times you don't even smell a whiff of the oil. I'm not talking in the natural, but I'm talking, we have learned how to do church without the Holy Spirit. And yet in the old covenant, which is just a picture of what we're supposed to be, the building was dripping with it. I was in a conference last week or 2 weeks ago in South Dakota, and I asked the pastor, I said, "I want anointing oil to be at the altar, but I don't want to just have the little bottle that we usually have. Could we have like a large quantity of it?" And so they brought this big, like glass jar, this big, full of oil. And then there was like this other bowl on a plate. And so I poured oil into that bowl until it overflowed into the plate. And that was what we used to dip our hands in to go around and anoint people. And people were like dripping. Now, it's not about the natural, but I think we need to change our mindset. And I want to declare over everybody here today, Jesus wants you to be overflowing with his oil. And if you have not been filled with the Spirit ever, he wants to do that now. It's like time for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you have gotten dry or you've been living on, you know, E for a while, you know, all of us have our phones and we have that little symbol on your phone that shows whether it's your phone is charged or not. You know, that little battery symbol. Just imagine if we could see each other and on your forehead was that battery. And we could look at you and see how charged you are. Where would you be tonight? Would you be fully charged? Thankfully, mine is fully charged. Or would you be on that little place where it says 5% and it turns red? And a lot of us have gotten used to living in that place. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church right now and saying he wants us to live an Ephesians 5:18 life. That Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be overflowing. Because you can't be giving out to others and you can't be praying for the supernatural miracles of God and seeing healings and prophesying over people if you're just empty all the time. You got to live in the overflow. Amen? And God wants Good News Church to be on overflow. Amen? Can I just ask, Nate, could we just have one instrument to play? And I'm going to pray over y'all. I want to just have a little time of ministry over you before we close. I want to pray over Good News that you will be willing, number one, be willing to step into that that place of breaking the box individually and corporately. But I also want everybody in here to be living in that overflow life. So if we could just bow our heads for a moment. There's two categories that I want to pray for. Number one is, if there's anybody in here tonight that you would just say, I need to be prayed over. My battery is about to die or it's on 5%. My tank is about empty. Maybe you have lived in the overflow in the past. Maybe you've been prayed for before to be filled with the Spirit, but you know right now you're not. God wants to fill you, and He wants to refill you. He wants to do a powerful work of overflow in your life. And there's some people here tonight that you've been dry for a while, and so even me talking about this, you're kind of already resistant because you're like, okay, that's not going to help. There's already somebody feeling like that. It's not going to help me because you don't know what I've been doing or you don't know my situation. You don't know what I've been walking through. And the Lord is saying, actually, God knows what you've been walking through, and being filled to overflowing is the answer. That's what you need right now. So I'm just going to ask in a moment for you to respond to that. And then secondly, I want to just say, if there's anybody here that you just know you are in a box and you've put some conditions on your obedience, maybe you've just been telling God what you will and will not do, but you really, really need to surrender to some things about your future, about your career, about your ministry, about your life. You've let fear control you. You've let your own agenda get in the way. And if you need to surrender that, I'm going to ask you to respond as well. So there's going to be two sections. If you need to be filled with the Spirit or refilled with the Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come on this side of the altar. And if you need to surrender something and pray that dangerous prayer that just says, Lord, I'm here am I, send me. And you need to unleash your potential because you've limited Him. I want you to just get up from where you are. I want you to get out of your box. And I want you to walk down here. You can stand. You can kneel. You can lay on the floor. You can do whatever. But I want you to respond to the Holy Spirit tonight and let Him work in your heart. We're going to just let the Spirit take over for just the next few moments. And then I'll pray over you and dismiss you. So, whoever that is that needs to come. I know everybody hates to be the first one, but I'm going to ask you to be bold and brave. Just come to whichever side you need to go to. Thank you, Jesus. And if I could have some of the staff or the prayer team to come up and help me. We need some folks to come up and help pray for these people here. Thank you, Jesus. The team that's going to help me can just come up with me on this side. Okay, so you guys that are surrendering, I want you to just wait in that place and just wait for me because we're going to come and pray for you second. You can just start doing some business with God right now. And that's going to involve this. Everybody up here needs to lift your hands and just let heaven take that Polaroid picture of you. Just surrender and give God whatever it is that's been in the way. Just give that to Him. Just surrender it. It might be fear. It might be some kind of condition that you've put on obedience, but just give God that. And then over here, those of you who want to be filled, how many of you would say you're here and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time? You've never received that before. Is everybody here, you've already been prayed for that, but you're here to be refilled. Is that your situation? Okay, so I want all of y'all to lift your hands to God, because this is the thing. We cannot be filled if we're full of ourselves. This is why we lift our hands, because we're saying, I'm empty, God. I need you. I am desperate. I need more of you. And I need your precious Holy Spirit to fill every area of my life. So that's why I'm going to ask you to get your hands in the air. Surrender to Him. Give Him everything. Give Him every part of your life so that the Spirit of God can come and fill you. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to pray just a prayer over this group, and then I'm going to ask Nate and Kristen and whoever else is helping to just come out, and we're going to lay hands on you individually, and we're going to ask for that infilling to come. Again, Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is God's plan and purpose for you. He wants you to be overflowing with the Spirit. And some of you have allowed other things to get in there and fill you. But we're just saying right now, we're not going to let that other stuff get in the way. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that your Spirit is here. Your Spirit is at work. Your Spirit is touching every one of these. And Lord, you are doing surgery. You're going deep. You're going to the very root. You're going to the deepest place of these folks. And Lord, where there's been pain and where there's been disappointment, where there's been hurt, Lord, where there's been some doubt that's come in, Father, we are asking, Lord, that you come and refill them in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Ghost, and do a work inside of them right now to transform them, to fill them with your power. You guys can go ahead and start laying hands on them. Lord, we thank you as we lay hands on these precious people that you are filling every vessel to the brim in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your fire. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for the oil that is coming to refresh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up to the brim. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And sir, the Lord wants me to declare over you tonight that He is breaking the cord that's been wrapped around your foot that was trying to drag you back into the shame of the past, into the strongholds of the past. We break the power of those chains right now, and we say that you are getting ready to step into a place of freedom like you've never known. You're going to need to open up your heart and talk about those dark things and those embarrassing things. You need to open up your heart and spill your guts, but you are going to walk in a whole new realm of freedom. In the name of Jesus, we declare it over you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Thank you, Lord, for freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that's going to flow out of my sister in a new way. Lord, we thank you. You're unlocking her potential and you're releasing her into the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're closing some chapters from the past. Thank you, Jesus. She's not going to be haunted by stuff from the past, Lord. She is living in the now and she's walking into the future. She is not letting anything hold her back. Lord, she's not going to be held back by the things of the past in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that freedom that is coming. Fill her up, fill her up, fill her up, fill her up. And after we've prayed for you, I want you to just pray in your prayer language and let that language just burst out of you. Let it flow out of you. And don't be quiet about it. Let the river flow in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Fill my brother up fully. Fill him to fullness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're shifting. Thank you for what you're changing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're closing the door on those things of the past. You're shutting it. And Lord, he's moving forward in the name of Jesus. He is not going to be held back by those things in the name of Jesus. The things that were that you've even told yourself and you've labeled yourself, we break those off of you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for freedom now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this young woman now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill her up. Fill her up. Lord, there was a dryness there, but Lord, there's getting ready to be, Lord, waterfalls of your oil flowing through her life. And Lord, you're turning up the volume in her life. You're going to make her a woman of impact. You're making her a woman of influence. Lord, we declare it in the name of Jesus. She is not going to stand in the shadows. She's not going to live in a place of limitation any longer. But Lord, I see you pulling her. You're pulling her forward. You're pulling her forward. You're pulling her forward out of the shadows, out of the sidelines. And you're pulling her into your spotlight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You need to recognize that God has a leadership call on your life. He is tapping into that, and he's pushing you into those places where you're going to be an influencer, and you're going to touch many lives. Don't let fear stand in the way any longer, and don't let those voices of condemnation and those voices of rejection and those voices that have told you that you're not good enough or that you can't do it, we break the power of those lies off of you now in the name of Jesus, because you are a called woman. You are a called woman. It is settled. It's not a question mark. It is not a question mark. You have been called by the Spirit of God, and his anointing, even that leadership anointing, is upon you. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. God's even going to confirm it. He's going to open a door for you. And somebody's going to even come and say, we need you to be in this position. We need you to be over here. You're not going to have to make it happen. He's going to open the door for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for filling them up in the name of Jesus to the fullness. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them with your refreshing. Fill them with your anointing. Fill them with your power right now in the name of Jesus. I just see the Lord is like inserting a rod in your back right now, and he is stabilizing you. And there's been things that have caused you to be tossed here and there, and you just felt like things in your life, just the winds would blow, and you were just bending like a little branch in the wind. But God says, I am putting roots in you, and I am bringing stabilization in you. I'm getting you rooted and grounded, and you are not going to just be pushed around. And it feels like sometimes like the devil just wins the battle, and he just gets to come in there and just take over and boss you around. But I see you standing up to the enemy and standing up to those things that have been coming against you, and you are going to walk as a woman of authority. You're going to walk in a realm that you've never known before, in a place of maturity, staking your claim. And I see you putting your foot down and saying, no, devil, you cannot have the promise of God. And you're stomping your feet and saying, no, God has promised this to me, and I'm going to stand on his word. Lord, we thank you that she's emerging into a woman of faith in the name of Jesus. Fill her up, Lord. Fill her up now. Thank you for that stirring that you're doing inside of her. And Lord, I just thank you for the uniqueness of the call upon this young man right here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, he's not like anybody else. You didn't require him to be like anybody else. You didn't call him to be, that he has to compare himself to. with anyone else, because he was uniquely formed and uniquely made. And Father, you have uniquely equipped him with gifts and callings. And right now, I just release him in Jesus' name from feeling like he hasn't measured up. He hasn't done enough. He hasn't been enough. Lord, we break that striving and that even that sense of rejection off of him right now. We break its power off of him. And I declare that my brother, Lord, is going to begin to grow into this man of God that you called him to be, a man of confidence, a man of quiet confidence. You were made to be a man of quiet confidence. Quit comparing yourself with everybody else and know, son, that as you stare at the Word of God, as you meditate on His Word, as you look at Jesus Christ, you are going to grow into that leader, that man of God that you've been called to be. A man of wisdom, a man of talent and creativity, a man who's going to have solutions to problems. And I see people coming to you, throwing up their hands and saying, we don't know what to do in this situation. And you're going to have the answer. You're going to know what to do. You're going to have the practical solutions. And they're going to call you the answer man. You're going to have the solutions for those technical problems and those really difficult problems that, really wealthy people and smart people don't have the answers for. You're going to have the answer. We just declare it over him now in Jesus' name, that you are anointing him with supernatural wisdom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody that's down here for this special prayer, I want you to just lift your hands once again to God. It's a holy moment right now. It's a holy moment because heaven is looking at your heart. And God sees your sincerity. And you know, your fears, in many cases, your fears have been really, really big. And they have loomed large in front of you. And your problems have loomed large. But right now, as I just pray over you, wave my arm over you, the Lord says he is causing you to see your problem in comparison to how big he is. And your problem is shrinking. Your fears are shrinking. Those things that have stood in the way in the past, they are shrinking. And God is being magnified. And you're realizing that his hand is on your life. He is for you and not against you. He has been birthing this thing inside of you, and he wants to release your potential. He's not against you. He is for you. And he declares over you tonight that you have his blessing, and you have his embrace, and you have his hand resting upon your head, and he's pouring the oil out upon you. Even as he poured the oil on David, when David was just a young man tending flocks in the field, the prophet came and poured the oil on David. And from that moment, his whole outlook on life changed. It was the oil that changed it. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that changed how he viewed himself. And in the name of Jesus, I break off of you every small-minded lie, every mindset that has told you that you're stuck in some old place. I declare in the name of Jesus that you're shifting. You're shifting tonight into that new place. Thank you, Father. I want you to just say to the Lord, here am I, send me. Tell him that. Here am I, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just tell him that your life is his. Your talents are his. And I feel like I'm supposed to tell some people tonight that you're not done. Somebody up here tonight, there's more than one of you that felt like because of your age that somehow it's over. Your potential has already peaked. And I break that lie off of you now in the name of Jesus. And I say that there is yet to be a promise coming forth of influence and impact. I declare over this woman of God right now, in the name of Jesus, that something new is going to be birthed out of you. It's something very precious that He's going to use you to do, to touch others, to touch the lives of others. There's a huge compassion on the inside of you and a desire to make a difference in the lives of people who are broken and hurting. And God is going to reach into you and He's going to unlock and unleash that potential. Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. And over my sister here, I declare in the name of Jesus, there is no shadow following you, and there is no letter branded on you. There is nothing that the enemy has tried to convince you that somehow you're damaged goods, but I break that mindset off of you in the name of Jesus, and I declare that there is something fresh and new about to just be unleashed out of you, out of the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. You are no longer going to feel like that you get up in the morning and there's two strikes against you. That mindset is being broken off of you. You are a victor, and you already have the victory. You're walking in victory, and you're walking in His holy potential. Lord, we thank You in the name of Jesus that fresh new thing is being released. It is springtime for you in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Lord, we bless You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for that fire that is inside of this one in the name of Jesus. And Lord, there's been things in her life the enemy's tried to use to get her to quiet down and to just tone it down. But I just say right now, in the name of Jesus, let every one of those things be broken off. And Lord, that the fire of God is going to be unleashed through her, and there's going to be a radical message coming out of you. There's going to be a radical nature inside of you. There's going to be the fire of the Lord coming out of your mouth. And God wants to use you to turn many to Him. I see your finger pointing to many. And you're going to be one that directs people to get on the path of salvation. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that You're going to use her. Lord, there's going to be an evangelistic grace, Lord, working through her to turn many sinners to God in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for that anointing. And Lord, that inferiority that has been following this brother in the name of Jesus, I break its power off of him. He is not going to let that rule and reign over him anymore, because the truth of the matter is God's going to start showing you who you really are, and you are not going to be controlled by those old ideas of this, you know, or inferior version of you. You're not going to be controlled by that any longer, but you are, that inferior thing is being broken off of you, and you're going to start, even your posture is going to change, because you're going to hold your head back knowing that you are a son of the King and that you are walking in His authority. We declare that there's a shift taking place in your heart and in your spirit in the name of Jesus, and you're going to begin to walk in your inheritance in the name of Jesus. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I declare it over this one as well. In the name of Jesus, just stand up, sir. I want you to stand up and just lift your hands high. Oh, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the call of God. We thank You for the radical heart that is in this man. But, Lord, we just thank You that You've called him to be a bridge builder, and You've called him to be a wall shatterer. Lord, You've called him to be, Lord, to walk in the gift and the ministry of reconciliation. And the Lord says He's going to use you to break down those walls, even in this city. In the name of Jesus, we declare it over him that he is your instrument, that, Lord, You're giving him a hammer to break down those things that have divided and those things that have caused black and white not to walk together, that you're going to use this brother as a reconciler. And I see you pulling people from one side to the other, pulling them together. He's going to use you to weave God's church together and to pull his people into unity in the name of Jesus. We thank you for putting that heart inside of him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we just thank you that you're anointing his words. You're giving him the pen of a ready writer. You're giving him the tongue of one who will speak for you. And that, Lord, his words will be touched by the oil and will be touched by the fire in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Could we all stand together as we're about to close? And I know that Matt wants to come up. Could we all just link our arms together? Could you just hold each other like this as we close tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, the eyes of the world were on Augusta last week. Probably a lot of people don't even really think much about Augusta, Georgia, except when people are playing golf. But we know your eyes are on this city. And this place has a special, special place in your heart. And Lord, you want to demonstrate your love and your power through Augusta, Georgia. Lord, as we squeeze our arms together, I'm asking, Lord, right now that you would break every wall down. Every racial wall, every wall of ethnic hatred. And Lord, the stuff that's obvious as well as all the stuff that's subtle under the surface. Because we know sometimes we Southerners can put a nice face on something ugly. But we are asking you tonight to deliver Augusta, Georgia from racism. Break the power of racism off of this city. And we ask for something new that would be birthed. We ask, Lord, that the box be completely broken. Do in Augusta what you did in Caesarea. Break the box, Lord. And Lord, we are willing to walk into this new season, Lord, anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know it's going to require lots of oil to do this. It's going to be by your Spirit. It's not going to be through politics. It's going to be by the Spirit that we do it. And I just declare right now over Matt and Susie that there is a new, I just see Jesus handing you this scepter, and it's something new that you've not walked in before, but it has to do with the city, and it has to do with also gathering and being influencers among the leadership of the city and the church leadership of the city. And I feel like that in the past, you know, y'all have been sort of in the background, but I just believe that there's a season coming where you're going to be more in the forefront in the city, leading the charge to break these walls. And that there's some steps that God's going to require you to take. There's some strategies that he's going to release to you. It's not going to just be you. There's going to be others that are going to come to you. And there's something stirring in the city. And I just declare that Good News Church is going to be right in the middle of it. You're not going to be on the sidelines of it. You're not going to be in the shallow waters of it. You're going to be in the middle of it. And we declare that the reconciliation that God wants to bring to this city, that you will use Good News Church as an instrument, Lord, to bring about that healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give Jesus a shout for what he's done right now? Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.